All right, so if you were with us the past two sessions, so we dove into one of the topics was why teen ministry and the value within that. And then the second one that we talked about was, you know, when you start to have that teen ministry established, you know, how does discipling fit into things when it comes to kids who are churched, who grow up within the church, and then kids who are not growing up in the church? You know, how does that all play out? In this session, guys, we're going to be diving into discipling leaders. So as the youth ministry has grown over the years, we have found ourselves in need of pulling other people in to be able to serve alongside of us to try to grow the ministry. At its peak, I guess last year, we had about 24 different leaders throughout the churches that we had with the Crossings. So it's crazy to me, I guess, even thinking of that. It's like, how did it go from the 2 to 4 and the 6 and 8? And then we get to the point where you have multiple leaders, and you need to establish some kind of process that fits well with developing that portion of people. And for those of you guys who are in here, the kids that are in here, all these things are still very applicable to you. When you look at leadership in general, these are all things that you guys should be striving to become. So even though you might not feel like you're in a position where you're like leading in a youth ministry, or you're one of the leaders in a small group or whatever it may be, just know that you still have a really, really important role when it comes to leading. But we're going to try to dive in a little bit deeper into discipling specifically leaders. And, you know, being a good youth leader, just it comes down to example.
I wanted to say something. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay. So I just do kind of want to start by saying that, like, in this category, there's been times where I feel like, man, discipling other leaders has just been really natural. You know, like, it came kind of easy, and, you know, the times were good, you know. But I think Alyssa said it earlier, like, life can be life. And over the years, we've found ourselves in different places, you know. And so RJ and I are still, in some ways, I think, in different seasons of learning how to navigate this and what this looks like. And I'm going to be honest when I say that there's been times, probably more recent, where I feel, you know, like some failure in this, if I'm being honest. You know, the church gets bigger. You have a lot of roles. You're trying to keep, you know, your head above water. Or I just said with, you know, having a family and just everything else. That's not excuses. It's just us going, man, like looking back now, doing this lesson has honestly been timely, I think, and good for my heart, because it made me recall, you know, like some of the beginning things, just the very practical and good things that I think, you know, produce some really good leaders, and something that I want to start to make sure that I get back to the basics on, and I think and implement, but also take all the wisdom and the knowledge and the thing that, you know, we've learned over the past 20 years of youth ministry and further apply that. So like RJ was saying, the first thing is leading by example. You know, I think we said it once, we say it 1,000 times, you know, that we cannot get around this. And any topic of track, I'm like, man, this is a little redundant. Yeah, it is a little redundant, but at the same time, how do you not say it? You are not going to disciple other leaders unless you first decide to lead by example. No one, you know, wants to follow where you're not willing to go. You know, it's silly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, and I just think about, like, our time over the years, I think, with different leaders. And while I could very clearly say we haven't done everything right, and I've not always, you know, been my best, and I even feel very indebted, I think that if you asked any of the leaders that we've worked alongside of, they wouldn't question, like, our integrity. You know, I don't think they'd sit back and be like, if they failed in some way, it wasn't because they were malicious or didn't just care about God or didn't care to try and do the right things. You know, it was just a fault or, you know, a moment of struggle or of sin even. But I think that all of them would say that we have integrity. I think that's why we had, I think, as many leaders in some regards, there's lots of reasons, but that has stayed within our youth ministry over the years, you know, and helped serve at that capacity, in part because of that. I think alongside that with your example, you know, is obviously the integrity, but also just like humility and continued learning. This is a big thing, you know, like being an example of someone they can look to and go like, hey, if I got a question, I can ask, you know, like it's not like something where they're not going to be willing to answer or help me or be humble if they don't know the answer. Another, I think, very big thing is like, I'm, you know, I've been, what's today's date? 13th. So like 3 days ago was my, I got baptized 29 years ago, 3 days ago, which is crazy. I know, I just gave you all my age almost. And I say that to say, like, it's been literally all my life in the church, plus, you know, since I decided, you know, to make my walk with God, it was 29 years ago. That seems like it literally, I can remember my baptism like it was yesterday. But I do think something I really have strived to do is, like, continue to grow myself, like, in wisdom, like, listening to podcasts or, you know, talking about something that I'm reading. I need to be able, as a leader, to be an example of someone who, we have too many leaders, or honestly, I'm going to be honest, we go out on these church plants, we send these church plants out, and we go out with, how many of you guys have maybe been on a church plant, or you have, when you start going on a church plant, you go out with this concept and this mindset, if you're doing what I think God wants, of I'm about to give everything, all my time, all my heart, all my focus, all my energy, everything is going to go into this church plant that I've been called to. But sadly, I think what can happen over time is you get, the church grows bigger, as it should, and that because of a result of God's work and you putting, you know, your time in and obeying him, the church gets bigger, and guess what tends to happen with the original leaders? I think we tend to get a little cozy. Well, now there are other people are able to teach classes. Now other people are able to run the events. Now other people can do this. Or it's weird that in leadership, sometimes the more that God has blessed us with and given us in our life, we can tend to actually become more ungrateful and feel entitled and do less for him in those times. And I think that's something that really has to be watched out for, especially, you know, for everybody. You know, and what I don't want, what I never want, is for the leaders under me or the teens in this church to look at me and go, well, Ashley just chose to age out. Like, she did her work all those years, and, you know, now she did camps, you know, for a month out of every summer, and, you know, she's 40-something years old, and has all these other things. It's okay if she doesn't show up. I mean, if I have something credible, yes, I may not show up, but I don't ever want you to look at me and be like, well, she just sits on her hands and doesn't really do anything anymore. She put her time in. Like, I pray that you guys are able to look at me, and I mean, like, to my dying breath, be able to be like, man, she didn't stop. I actually opened I found this old Bible, and when I say old, it's older than the 29 years that I've been a Christian. It was like in the early 1970s. And I opened it up. It was in my office, and it's my mom's Bible from when she first, you know, like my dad and her were first starting like ministry. And when I open it, the first thing I see on the front page is her handwriting, and it says, "Let me die climbing." And I just sat there and was like, it took me back. I didn't expect it. And not because of a regret or a sadness, but I was so proud. Because all these years and all the trials, my mom is still climbing, you know. And I thought, man, I want to be like her, you know, in that. And so I think when I look at our leadership, I want you guys to look at our example. People should be able to look at your example, who you're leading, and go, man, if you climb, I climb. You may look one way or the other, but like, I'm right there behind you, and I don't question if you're going to bail out on it. So your actions, your life, your everything, it has to align with your words. You know, aside from that, like I said, people are not going to go. They're not going to follow you where you're not willing to go, right? So if I'm over here saying, well, you should do this in youth ministry, and you should treat your husband like this, and you should do that, and da-da-da-da-da, but I don't do it, who wants to follow that, right or wrong? You know, don't give people don't make yourself be the scapegoat for someone not doing what God called them to do.
So if you want to disciple leaders, make sure that you're leading by example. And one way to lead by example is by modeling servant leadership. You know, you think about that word, servant leadership. You know, I think of, you know, obviously Jesus, you know, in that description of servant leadership. Because sometimes I think many people want to focus on the word leadership, but they forget how much of a servant you are to be in order to lead properly, in order to lead the way Christ did. Being in that position of leadership means a lot of responsibility. And the best way to train up leaders is by modeling a servant leader. So one of the things that Ashley was talking about, you know, she spoke of integrity, demonstrating that integrity or humility, or just that strong commitment, right, to follow Christ in your own life with your actions and with your words. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So serving others selflessly and sacrificially is inherently a foundation in Christianity, right? You know, I know there was a lot of at ease in that sentence, but to serve selflessly and sacrificially is very, very foundational in our walk with Christ. You cannot separate them. If you forget that, then you're never going to be able to raise up the next levels and generations and the structure that our ministries can become. When you have 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 different leaders that are serving in your ministries, there has to be an intentionality and a focus. And if you can grab a hold of that servant leadership, you can really do some amazing things. And that's what makes leading by example a lot easier. It's always, always more difficult to double back and try to justify an exception as to maybe why you didn't do it this way. But if you as the leader can make sure that you're always setting the bar high, then you always have an example to point to rather than a justification of an exception as to why you didn't do it. Does that make sense? So make sure that you're setting the example and you're leading by that example.
I think the next thing is reminding them of the vision. If I were to ask you guys, does a Crossing Church have a vision? You know, what would we say? I will ask you. Does a Crossing Church have a vision? Do we have a vision statement? Speak up if you know. Yes. Could you tell me what the vision statement entails?
We are sent to go make disciples in a small group.
Okay, so some of you got it, and that's good. That's a, you know, a testament to that. But if some of you are going, man, there's a vision behind our church. I mean, you like even you know you got to start. We got to start looking at that. Are we implementing a vision? My brother and my dad, they're visionaries. You know, me and my mom are more the like we're gonna come behind you and be like, how does this get done? You know, like I'm gonna write this down and try and make sure everything that needs to happen, you know, kind of falls in place. But they're dreamers, you know, they're visionaries. And the world needs those. The kingdom needs visionaries. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." You know, and this is something that I think, like, it's not brought up in every single meeting, and it probably should get brought up more, but I think it is brought up in some capacity to where we sit down in meetings sometimes, you know, within our youth leaders, and we go, what's going on? You know, like, what's happening? What's lacking? What's our... Like, let's remember what the goal here is. You know, what is the goal in these things? And giving you guys a vision. We do have a vision statement, in fact, and it's actually when you walk in the front doors of the building, it's on your right. So maybe take a picture of that just as just a fun little fact. When I was in the high school ministry, we actually, like, had a challenge to memorize that vision statement. And I can't believe how much it, like, kind of, like, sunk into my head and sunk into my heart over the years. So just make those things a priority. Teach them to your leaders. Cast a vision of what the church wants to be, of what the kingdom is called to be, but just what do you want your ministry, what do you want the youth ministry to look like? You know, how do you want to see it grow and all in all those things?
I can say, you know, I don't feel like I'm someone who has great vision. I wouldn't say that I'm someone who's creative and can, you know, spawn up different ideas very well. So when we get together as our group in our zone, and that's what I think is so great about our group of leaders is that we have so many gifts and talents and abilities that there are the people who can really come up with some creative ways to do some really fun things. And there's people who are the planners who can make sure that you orchestrate all the thoughts out on how we can accomplish it. And then you got the people that can just execute the plan. And I don't know where I fall within some of those. Sometimes I feel like I don't fall in anywhere. Maybe I'm the executor of the plan. I don't know. But
why did you say?
I build the plan.
You're the eye candy, actually.
Yeah. I fail at that too, huh?
Yeah, I said it.
So you know, casting a vision and setting those goals, guys, is something that I'm always trying to keep in front of myself to make sure that I'm I guess what I'm saying is while you might not be gifted in, with that ability, a God-given gift or a talent, that doesn't mean that you sit back and you let everybody else do the work. You put your hands to work in every aspect of the ministry, even though you might not be the greatest at it, but you're going to be right there and you're going to be supportive in trying to push through that stage of the process. So provide a clear vision and goals. The third thing that we want to talk with you guys about, if you want to disciple leaders, is you have to equip and empower. And we thought of just like, you know, how do you do that? You meet together. You have to be in proximity of each other. You got to be in the presence of each other to be able to equip each other and to empower each other. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, a passage that many of us, you know, have encouraged other people to remember and understand, it says to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And then bleeding into Acts chapter 2, it says, do not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. So equipping and empowering people means that you have to be in proximity with each other so that you can equip each other and train each other and give each other resources and opportunities.
Just so you know, I think you're on the old notes.
Oh, well, that's right. Shucky darns. Well, and the other thing is I think is important is to delegate some of those responsibilities. In making sure that you're taking that initiative to encourage one another. One of the things that I talked about during the last session was allowing people to kind of succeed and fail. It's just as important for us adults and us leaders to make sure that we're stretching out there, seeing success, but also learning how to fail. Because we're not always going to make it. We're not always going to, I shouldn't say make it. Maybe that's not the right, we're not always going to, you know, achieve that outcome that we're wanting. We're going to fall short. But as a leader, you have to teach your leaders how to fail properly, right? To learn from that mistake and keep pushing forward. Not fail and then quit, but fail and find out what do I need to do to be able to succeed.
Yeah, I think with that, like just some practical things too, is just like, you know, encouraging seminars. You know, when you become a youth leader, it's not kind of like adult, you know, small group leadership and that you kind of have like peers, you know, now, like not to say that it's like all easy, that every ministry has different aspects that are difficult, but on an adult level, you're kind of in a group with your same peer levels. You're mostly at the same point, you know, in a walk in life. And so you kind of just get that like interaction that you kind of need, right? For like marriage, friendship on like your level, right? But when you become a youth leader, you're hanging out with the team. You know, and while you guys are great, and like I said in the first couple of lessons, you offer a ton, you know, to our lives and to our hearts, there are some things that you're just not, you're not there yet, right, in life. You know, I bring up him being eye candy, and you're like, oh my gosh, stop talking about it, you know, or whatever. I like, but we need to talk about like our marriages and, you know, and things like that. And so, or where we're at. So I think just remembering that even on a leadership level, like we have to keep just the same way we would be pushing the teams to go to camps, right? We push the teams to go to retreats. We push you guys to go to your cross jazz. We push you to go to your small groups. All things that I think are excellent, you know. But when you're discipling other leaders, there needs to be a push for that too. As if somehow we've arrived and we don't have to do that anymore. Like that it's not healthy. You know, so as many extra resources as they can get their hands on, they need to be doing those things. So, you know, having meetings, meeting up with other leaders, you know, and those things and being responsible for some of their own growth, you know, in that and their own needs are very, very important. And I think too, just letting them know like they can do it. You know, when we started the youth ministry, we didn't have a lot of other successful youth ministries around us, you know, or even far out from us to talk to that were doing what we were doing, you know, as youth leaders. And then some of those relationships actually kind of got broken, the ones that I wish I would have had. That's for another story another day. But, you know, I think I wish, you know, like I could have had somebody just to call it for a random direction, you know, like I don't got to meet with you for an hour, but quick question, what's this look like? You know, because we could have avoided so much, you know, I think struggle, you know, over the years in our ministry. And I just needed to hear like, hey, like you're going to mess up, like RJ said, but you're going to be all right. You know, you're going to come out on the other side of this. You can do it. I think also, man, they're hype out there. I think, you know, the next thing when it comes to discipling leaders is being real, being relational, and just being friends, you know, you got to know each other so that you can help each other, right? We all know Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, two are better than one. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. You know, I kind of just said it, but like leaders are human, right? We give our hearts. We get hurt. We have complicated situations. We have marriages. We have kids that we don't know what we're doing with some of the time. And I think you guys know that. You know, some of me are my own kids. I'm like, you're the guinea pig. Sorry, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, all those things are affected, you know, in our lives. And the people that you're working with, they're in the same spots too. You know, and I think it is our job. I like that RJ and I are now in a place where we are like a little bit, everybody says getting older sucks. There are things about it that sucks. I'm not going to lie. But there's some really cool parts about getting older, you know, because I feel like we are able to offer those things when our leaders are in need. You know, that many of our leaders have younger kids right now. You know, they haven't been through the phases that we've been through, you know, or worked through with our own children or, you know, kids in youth ministry to some extent. And I think that's where RJ and I will be like, hey, we can actually help in this area, you know, or this is what we've seen. This is what we went through. I think also just being relational and being, you know, being real, they need to see that you struggle too. You know, we got to be able to show that. I don't love to share my feelings. It's not my favorite thing to do. Jess cries every other time I talk to her, you know, like.
Gotten a lot better.
You'll see it. It's gotten a lot better. We'll see. No, actually, you say it's gotten better, but yeah, like, that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Okay, there were times where she unnecessarily cries, but there's, like, legitimately good, just soft-hearted, like, it's good to share your feelings. Like, I said something last night, and she was like, oh, look, sharing, you know, not suppressing your feelings, good job, and I'm like, get out of here, you know, but she's right. I don't love that, but that part humanizes me, and not just as, like, oh, I'm your leader, right, I'm here, but I'm, like, here. You know, with you. And I get it. Like, I've been there, you know, or I see you. And I think it also just being real and relational requires, you know, just like I said, being encouraging and being able to give grace when you have a relationship, a friendship with someone, right? You know, their heart. So it's a lot easier, you know, in those settings to be like, man, they may have really screwed this one up and I got to say something, you know, or whatever. But at the same time, I don't have to come in like hot or too upset or too bothered. And this is something I've definitely learned over the years. Because I know what their intentions are. You know, 90% of our youth leaders and helpers are not, you know, getting paid to do this. They're doing it because they feel called by God, you know, and they love him. And they love teenagers, you know. And so that's something where I got to sit back and be like, whoa, like, before you, you know, get too bothered with that, remember, like, you know them. You know, you have that relationship with them and help lead them from that aspect as well.
You guys, and I think, too, is like, you know, you think of church and you think of the structure that we have and stuff, and you could easily equate that to like business and the structure of like corporate, you know, America. And as you guys get older and you see some of those things, but, and while you have some of those structure pieces, what you get to have in ministry is the realness of friends. To whereas in, when it comes to work, you might have all of these same processes and like structures and you call it whatever you want in your organization, but what you lack so many times there is just the real friendships that you get to experience in the ministry. You know, for Ashley and I, our ministry, you know, the leaders that we have in our ministry are our best friends. To be able to have that is something that, you know, I don't ever want to take for granted. You know, and we talk about empowering and equipping. You know, over the years, it's been so valuable for me to be able to know that there's certain people that I can just rely on to make sure to get things done. I don't have to bird dog you and watch and make sure that it didn't get messed up, but I know that you're just going to work really hard to do what's right. Everybody has that certain person, but I just think, you know, being real in relational means that you get to see your friends succeed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And empowering those leaders and in having that leadership structure allows us as leaders to be able to have some of our closest friends. And when there are mistakes and when there are things that need to be challenged, you just get to like look back and be like, you know what? We're friends first, right? We're disciples and we're just friends first. So let's navigate this and work through that. If you have that kind of relationship mentality, then you are going to produce discipling leaders. You are going to disciple your leaders effectively.
Well, yeah, I think we started that with Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, where it says, two are better than one, for if any of them falls, they can lift up as companions. But you guys know what the next part of that verse says. But pity the man who falls and has no one. You know, and I think back at our years as youth leaders, you know, and leading amongst other, you know, and other leaders, and we had some falls, some very difficult, hard times. You know, I think if you weren't here last, you heard, you know, Jenna talk about her seasons and Evan's, you know, RJ's, you know, with his dad. And, you know, even, you know, I think of Mal. You know, she was one of the best junior high leaders you would ever known, you know, and she's not here, you know, because she passed away far too young. And it was the darkest, one of the darkest, hardest parts of our life. But if I had to picture myself that week alone in that hospital room watching my friend die, I couldn't have done, like, I wouldn't have survived that. I don't know how I would have done that. But I don't have that picture when I think of that time. Because I literally think of all the air mattresses and blankets and things in this hospital where we did not leave her feet until she took her last breath together. You know, and that's something that you just don't find, you know, and people should be able to find it amongst your leadership, amongst your group. And something that I desperately, like, I think into this summer, I wanted to go into this next school year to just kind of rekindle in a sense, you know, even within our group. And just on top of that, I think this is kind of like the final thing we kind of want to get into, I think. No, there's one more. So, fifth thing, sorry, is, yeah, he thought I was going to cut him off. But I think, you know, aside from just the relational, you know, and those things is have fun together. You know, sometimes I think God gets a bad rap. Like, he puts out all the rules. He, you know, you have all these things that he seems bothered about, you know, and all the things, but like God he's a God of cheer. If you read the Bible, I mean, if you get in your Bible app, search cheer or search joy or search, you know, do look into that, because if you only have one, the other view of God, you're very much missing the God, you know, the God in the sense of who he is and what he really, really loves. And he loves joy. In Psalms 94:19, it said, when doubt fills my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. Proverbs 15:13 says, a cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. You know, and those are like just two of many. But I think about those things and I'm like, man, the reason I think some of us, you know, leaders are able to like stick out the hard times in youth ministry, you know, when things are hard with teenagers, is because we have a group around us, you know, of our friends, like RJ was saying, that when all we want to do is cry, we actually end up laughing somehow, you know, and we actually end up closing down, like Anthony was saying, closing down restaurants, or, I mean, we're very big, you know, components of like, it's 10 o'clock. We can eat dinner right now, you know, like let's put that on the plate, you know, and like sit around and whatever,
paying for it later,
or make fun of everybody in the living room the other night, you know, whatever, you know, it takes, you know. So I think just like it, you know, like how many of you guys like love to sit around, be around your friends? A lot of you go, don't sit around your friends and you go, I like to be their best friend because they're mopey all the time and they complain. And they, like, no, like I'm trying to hang out with you because we have a good time, you know, like, but like we're real. We have all the other components. But like I'm guaranteed to laugh with you and spend some time with you, you know, and just enjoy each other. You don't want to miss that part of leadership. Like, there's enough hard things in leading and being a part of like the body and the church and just the world. Like, don't miss out on like the good things, you know, that are right in front of your face.
The last thing we want to share with you guys in discipling leaders is make sure that you're praying for your leaders. Make sure that you're praying for them. You're thinking about them. You're asking the Spirit. You're asking for God to guide them and to give them direction and to give them peace, right? You know, when some of our leaders are going through really difficult times, sometimes I find myself just praying, man, God, what can you lift from them? You know, what can maybe I help lift from them just so that they can have a sense of peace or a little bit of calmness this evening to be able to rest or anything like that. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So if you pray regularly for guidance and strength and unity, God will bless the ministry. It's a promise from him. It's simply something that you have to learn to rely on. And it's that untapped strength that I wish that many of us would dive into more, is prayer, to a very powerful God who can do great and amazing things. So with everything that we shared with you guys, like we did the last sessions, I want to ask for the people to come up. So it's going to be Aaron and Jess and Annalena Lamde. If you guys want to, split up here, we'll give you guys some microphones. And we're going to ask you guys just some questions. And we'd like to hear what you have to say about it when it comes to just leadership. And now, the four of them are currently leading in the student ministry, the teen ministry. And have been for a while. So they've got a lot of good things to say. Ashley's going to fire off the first question.
Well, I was going to, preface it too. Like, we kind of chose this group in some sense because it looked a little different, right? Like, a lot of the plants that we got to send out, we got to train up some of the youth leaders. We didn't get that opportunity, right, with you guys while you were still here. So you were kind of like, oh, we're going to be youth leaders. Hey, we're coming to Zone. And we're like, I know you, but I don't know. I barely knew him, Emily at all. So, it looks different, right? It looked different. But I think they just generally at their own church too have like those leadership guides and things like that. And, I hope obviously we've aided in that. And then you've got Justin Aaron over here who have not only, led, I think under us, but grew up with us, like they were in the youth ministry many moons ago. So they kind of offer a different, I think, element to that too. So we're going to start, and you guys can just choose, just fire off. Okay. So I just want you guys to share, quickly, maybe how you came into youth ministry leadership to begin with and kind of how you felt at the time.
Yeah. So it's funny because, whenever like we think about how we came into ministry, or specifically youth ministry, it was something that we didn't really think about. Obviously, like, when you're in the high school ministry, you think about, like, oh, I want to be a youth leader. I want to, like, be able to go to camps forever, right? You want to be able to do all those things. And, there was a moment where I did have those feelings and whatnot, but I feel like at the point that we were at in our lives, me and Jess, we were okay with, I guess, not, we were cool. Like, we were in the adult group. We were actually discipling a couple in our small group. We started building relationships and things like that. And, so we kind of had, I don't want to say like written off ministry, but it was something that we were kind of, it was okay with us not doing that. It was 2019, I guess, is when we got asked to do it. And, to be honest with you guys, I feel like if we would have said no, I think a lot of people would have understood. There was a lot of things going on in our lives at the time. Within that year, I guess a year or, a little bit under a year passed, whenever Jess's mom had passed away. We lived in her house. We had to sell her house, and that was a very emotional time, but also we ended up taking in Jess's niece and nephew. So there was just a lot going on at the time. But in the midst of that, we were asked to step in, and I think the reason why we did was because there was a need to. There was a grand need for us to step in and step up. And when we thought about it, we were like, how can we not step into this role after this ministry has given us so much? So I guess that was kind of, our claim to fame when it comes to the youth ministry, just, being needed, and knowing that, people needed to, we needed to step up into that role. Mm-hmm.
For me, I think it was, I started just helping give rides to, teenagers that needed it across that. The leaders at the time were like taking a van and driving for hours to drop everybody off. We were on a plant, so it was like a lot of work, very few people. So I, in a similar way, would like see a need and wanted to help out. So then getting to those cross chats and talking to girls, I was like, man, they're so like me, like insecure, and they're going through the things that I went through in high school. And I definitely developed really big. So then later on, when there was a need for leaders in the teen ministry. They kind of tapped on our shoulders, but it really did just start with me just driving around, bringing some snacks, and just being willing to do whatever God wanted us to do.
Did you want to add anything?
For me, it was basically, we had a serious need for the high school ministry. And, I was in campus at the time, and I love campus. So when Jay came and talked to me about, hey, there's a need, you feel like you could fill that need, I was actually kind of heartbroken. I'm like, I thought I would never leave campus. Like, I wanted to be in campus. I imagine me potentially being a leader, hopefully someday, just to be able to serve even more. And then Jay was just like, he needs someone to step in and fill this. And I believe you can do that. And I'm like, that's great, but I ain't really.
That's great, and I hope you find somebody.
but honestly, I mean, I do. My sister, she's coming into high school. There's a lot of junior hires I know about to be in high school that I really loved already. And I'm like, well, I don't want to leave them hanging. And then I just kind of joined in that way, and I fell in love with it for sure.
Okay.
Were you going to add?
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to add that I think that when, like, the need arose, I think that I just not only had so much been done just, like, for us by the youth ministry, but I also just think that, like, how could we, like Aaron said, how could we not, but just because of, like, God's goodness, like, in those days of my life, you know what I mean? Just, like, the hopelessness to how much God has brought me through all of these things, the things that, you know, I just cried myself to sleep about, you know, my mom, you know, coming to faith and then dying, you know, shortly after. I know that sounds sad, but honestly, like, how grateful I was to God, like, that I can see her again, or even with my niece and nephew, like, you know, Hunter's in the youth ministry now, you know, and, you know, I just was like, man, this, I want to be a part of this. I want to serve. And it was easy. It was easy to not, in some sense, like, deny self in that moment. Be like, it would be easy to just stay where we're at, but, like, let's go, like, and do the work, and let's do this.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you sharing. So of the points that we discussed, here just a second ago, Ashley and I, which one or two would you say has been crucial for you when it came to learning how to be a better youth leader, or just a disciple in general?
I'm going to say the points. Do you guys need?
Do you guys need the
state them, or you got them?
Okay.
So it was leading people, you know, other leaders, leading by example, reminding of vision, equipping, empowering, being real, relational, being friends, having fun together, and the prayer.
Being equipped and encouraged, those 2 points, I think, going through material, like, as a zone with different leaders, I think of, like, the ways of the long cyber was, like, a really big one, of just learning how to disciple people, and, the first 2 years in youth ministry, going through books like that, and learning, because, we were still super, super young as well, and so it's, definitely needed that for different situations, being able to call or text and just get answers to different questions when I felt out of my depth and things. And then also being encouraged to be like, hey, Emily, it's okay. Like, you can do this. Because I think I lean towards the, I'm not good enough. They're going to figure out I can't do this. One of these days, they're going to be like, good try, but.
you had a good run.
No.
But just being encouraged in those things, even when things aren't going as well, being hey, you are still fighting this fight and you're trying really hard, and it's okay if everything's not working out perfectly, and let go.
I would say that the biggest one for me is just modeling servant leadership. I think that I feel very fortunate to have, start to find my relationship with God when I was 15. I think I just have almost 15 years of, just being able to see just service in action, you know, being like not, you know, I think one of the big things like when I was younger was seeing like just the work that was put into CAM. So we were going on mission trips at the time as well. And it wasn't just like, oh, go do the work, guys, kids, we'll sit here. You know, it was like we're in this like nitty gritty together and we're working hard and there's a joy there. Like it's not just we're serving and we're putting in all of this work because like that's just what we're supposed to do. It's this like joyful hearted service. And I think that just giving yourself up, you know, not only for the people around us that we were serving, but also so many times people laying down things like for me, you know, their time. You know, I've been overstaying at RJ and Ashley's house for Jenna and Cross like for, you know, 15 years, like, you know, until 1 a.m. half the time. And I don't know, just without a complaint, you know, and I didn't realize until now that I'm that age. I'm like, oh man, I was really making them so tired, and I still do. But I don't know. I just there's just so many little things that just add up to like a life of service that it's been easy to look at and to see and to want to know more and to want to be closer to those people who are so committed to acts of service for the kingdom, because you know that's like what brings a joy and a fullness to ministry and to life.
I would say definitely the equipping and empowering and encouragement and support, pretty much what my wife was saying. There are times where things will happen and I would not know what to do, and it is like nerve-wracking because you're dealing with, you know, teens, and so many things, factors play with parents, with them, their safety, all this kind of stuff, especially when people are trusting you with their kids. So I don't know how many times I've called RJ like, man, you won't believe what just happened, or I need you. Like, I remember calling this different times and just like, you need to answer.
It's not option.
And then if you didn't answer, I was like, in your car. But man, it's honestly, like having that encouragement and support is super helpful, because you know, you like doing this alone, it's like, and there was a time where I did, like, I was helping in like youth ministry, like junior high a little bit, just with writing stuff and a little bit more. But I didn't really have the support I needed, and I just like I felt like a ball was dropped and I just didn't know what to do. But then as, you know, time went by and we got to join the youth ministry, it was just different. Like, you got to talk through stuff, get that support, ask as many questions as you can, just not to feel alone. So definitely the encouragement and supporting, the equipping, like the different books you would read, the different videos from Right Now Media. I remember us watching to kind of keep our minds where it needs to be. And then the visions and goals. I feel like we always have the same visions and goals, but to constantly have that reminder is so helpful, because we can try to fix certain little problems, but in the end, like, I think it's our leaders do a really good job at trying to like remember, why do we do this? Like, what is the point? What is the goal for the hearts of these kids? And that always helps the thinking in general. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, I would say providing clear vision and goals. A couple years ago, I received a book that's been really good. I've read it, reread it a couple times. Charles Swindoll. It's called Hand Me Another Brick. And it kind of talks about, it goes through the story of Nehemiah. It's like a Bible companion book. And it just kind of talks about the vision that he had to be able to restore the walls. And I think about that book, and I think about just dreaming for what could be. You know, right? You dream for being able to go into like a school, being able to go into a workplace, and being able to rebuild those walls, and being able to give, you know, like kids, you know, like a life change. You know, if you guys are like in my small group, you guys have definitely heard me talk about like the dreams and visions that I have for like the school year. You know, even when I think about like this past, you know, the past school year, I was actually, I did a little bit of substitute teaching, and, you know, like I was at North for a couple of, you know, for a couple of months, but I was also, I got to, you know, sub at some of the other schools, and, but it was cool because I, like, got to see
When I was at the other schools, I got to see, like, man, there's kids at this school that are just like kids that are in the ministry. And they need a relationship with God. They need to have, they need to know God's love. They need to know the community. And just being able to, like, see that, come back, and have that vision to go and reach out at all these different schools, I feel like, for me, like, I'm just, like, a really big dreamer. That's something that I feel like definitely, you know, it keeps me going. And it's definitely a challenge for me.
Okay, so I didn't prep you guys for this last question because it just came on me. Because I feel like some of the other ones were answered within it, but this will be, like, you know, the last one. But I guess, like, what would you...
Put your paper down.
Yeah, all right? You need no more. This is part of the training process. No, I'm kidding. But I think just, like, what would you tell other leaders, you know, coming into youth ministry, being new at it, you know, like, what is something that you think you would like them to know or to pass along? You can take a minute if you need it, because I did not.
Well, I would say for sure, I think something that's really hard is, like, you come into youth ministry, like, and I know RJ and Ashley, I know Evan and Jenna, and a lot of the other youth leaders, but I've never, like, been in a super close relationship with them. And when they have those relationships, it's like, man, this is awesome. But is there room for me to be in this? Am I coming too late to be really, you know, fine-tuned with it, the relationships they have? And I would encourage any youth leader that has those good mentors and mentors in their life to, like, pursue them. Like, pursue them with all your heart. RJ and Ashley, they do a lot for the ministry. Like, they do so much. And I can see it. Like, it's so easy to feel like, man, I'm about to be a burden. I know they're just working, they're working hard, but it don't matter. Knowing them anyway. especially with, like, I know RJ does a really good job of this. Like, there's times where I want to get with them, like, on a monthly basis. I know we had something going on for a good minute, because I just want to be close with them. I wanted to know how I did this. I want to do it well. It's so easy to see his heart, but also to know how hard working he is. And almost, like, honestly, every time, like, he would make time for me, he would take the little time he had in his work schedule, and, like, to take lunch or something, and he'll make that time with me. And sometimes it's like, what do you want to talk about, Alameda? I'm just looking at him like, I'm here to be here.
That's true too, though, because RJ, what did you get with Alameda about? You know, we had lunch.
We hung out. Like, we ain't talk about a whole lot. We need to do that. We need to put something on the calendar. Let's get it on the calendar.
But I get to talk to him about anything. You made him suffer. So don't be afraid to annoy the lead. Like, just be, like, they'll let you know. And they'll let you know, like, all right, let's get a less recurring skip deal. Let's get a meeting, you know, whatever it is. But don't be afraid, because that can really stunt your growth if you stop pursuing the leaders. And we know the Bible talks about, like, make life for the leaders easier. You know, don't make it a burden. And a burden is not, like, what we think. Like, oh, don't annoy them. Don't be, you know. No, make it easy for them to build that relationship and show you something different. So, yeah.
I would say that youth ministry, like, isn't, like, just a part of your life. It's, like, ministry is your life, I think. And I think that something that I feel like I can struggle with at times is being like, well, I have all of these different parts of my life, and I'm trying to, like, balance and juggle them. And this part is lacking, or this part is lacking. And I think something I've really tried to learn, you know, specifically through, like, especially since having, you know, little kids, is that, you know, my ministry, like, is my whole life. I feel like I really have to remind myself of that, is that, like, you know, my kids and my job and, like, all of these little factors, like, they're all part of my ministry, and they all in one way or another, like, take part in that or help me support it, right? Like, so I don't know. I think that that's something that I see sometimes. It's easy to have this idea of, like, well, the pieces aren't fitting together, you know, then there, I feel like if that's the case, then, you probably need to have some shifts on like what ministry looks like to you and what and how you're functioning in that way. I don't know if I'm making sense, mm-hmm. but I think that that's just something that's been really, really important to me. I know I was talking to Willow earlier, a 9-year-old, and I was like, she was sitting in the youth ministry lessons, and I was like, this is our ministry, Willow. Like, this is our ministry that our family does. Like, you have a part in this, and that's how I want it to be. I want her to know that on Crush at Night, she gets to play a role in helping with our ministry, and like, you know, and the ministry pours into my family. Like, they, like, you guys, like, minister to my kids, and it's just, I don't know, it's just something that it should just infill your whole life. Like, and I think that it's easy to for me to be like Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, you know, and then and sometimes I try to fit it in between, but it should be more than that, you know. It should be like how you live your day-to-day life, like just trying to be filled with the ministry and advancing the kingdom. And it's tough. I'm speaking full out of weakness, but it's been important, you know, detrimental. Like, you know, like if you miss it, I feel like. So, yeah.
I'd say, like, even, like, specifically, like, on a plant or, like, a smaller church, like, pursue, like, the church body as well. Like, communicate with the other people in your church, like, for needs or, like, if you do just need to, like, hang out with some older people and, like, have, like, fun and have a good time, mm-hmm. but also, like, needs for cross chat, different events coming up, like, so that weight isn't all just on your own shoulders, but also, like, just seeking, like, discipleship from other members of the church. Like, I think of, sometimes the parents within your church, you might need to sit down with parents and their teens, and there's another leader in the church in the adult ministry that you sit down with, and I think it's like June Benderman, like sitting down with her in a conversation and like watching her and being like, she's teaching me so much right now. Like, I know this isn't for me right now, but like I'm learning so much from her. So just like seeking to have all of the people in your church body just help build up that ministry even further.
I would say, you know, just, you know, be yourself. I guess don't be afraid to be goofy. For me, that's still a struggle at times. But I think about, like, what Paul says, you know, he became all things to all men in order to reach the Gentiles. He became, like, a Gentile, Jew to Jew. You know, like, you guys are, like, if you have a passion to do youth ministry, you know, like, become, in a sense, a teenager. But don't forget why you're doing it. You're doing it to raise men. You're doing it to raise women. You know, it's a lot easier to lift someone up when you choose to go down and get on equal footing to be able to, you know, to show them how to get up. You know, and I think just not being, you know, afraid to get out of yourself, to be goofy, to like have those moments. Yeah, I think that's for me, that's been.
He said this doesn't even work. Like, he ain't been in here for these sessions.
No, but just with what Aaron said, I came into campus ministry, and Aaron was one of the guys that I would look up to more. But it's kind of, and we've talked about this before, like, if we look back, we wish that we were so much more closer. And like, it's easy to say, like, coming to campus, I'm like, Aaron's one of those cool guys. Man, this is a cool dude. I think I really want to get close to this man. But I know that there were some times where it wasn't like we were able to, and there's things going on and hurts and that may have hindered some of that. But now that we get to serve in a whole other ministry together, like, I've seen how much different he is. That he is more willing to be goofy and out there and just, you know, sacrifice what he looks like for friendships. So, like, it is super important because I feel so much more closer to him now than I was in campus ministry with him. So,